I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, yet he is a prominent vaccine skeptic and one of the most successful spreaders of public health disinformation. How did we get here that RFK Jr., the scion of the Kennedy political legacy, is leading the nation's effort on public health? PBS Frontline tells this story. And later on The Source, opposition continues against the proposed Wahelote Ranch housing development in Northwest Bexar County. The company Lennar Homes is looking to build a wastewater treatment plant to serve the nearly 3,000 homes it would build over the aquifer's contributing zone. Critics say the wastewater would pollute the primary source of drinking water for San Antonio. For the first time, we're going to hear directly from Lennar defending its plan. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Did you know that many employees qualify for a matching gift through their workplace? Getting started is quick, easy, and can significantly boost your support for Texas Public Radio. Visit tpr.org/workplacegiving to see if your employer participates and maximize your impact today. Visit tpr.org/workplacegiving to see if your employer participates and maximize your impact today.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Later in the hour, we're going to hear for the first time from Lennar Homes defending its plan to build a nearly 3,000-home development in northwest Bexar County. But first, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the controversial Secretary of Health and Human Services. Kennedy is a prominent vaccine skeptic. He is a spreader of medical disinformation, and yet he is the big boss of the nation's most important public health agency. And of course, he is part of the Kennedy family, legendary in American politics. How did this happen, and what does it mean for America's public health? PBS's Frontline documentary series tells the story in The Rise of RFK Jr. It airs tomorrow night on KLRN in San Antonio, PBS stations across the country. And we're joined by the producer and the director of Rise of RFK Jr., Michael Weiser. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You start off with astonishing footage, tape of, was it right after President Trump was shot at in Butler, Pennsylvania, and he was, you know, hit in the ear by something, and he was bleeding. It was, you know, an incredible event. And then right after that, he receives a call from Bobby Kennedy Jr., and you capture that. You have that footage, and it is astonishing. I'm going to play just a little clip of that right now.
And it was a bullet going around. You know, it was, what do they call that, an AR-15 or something? That was a big gun. Those are pretty tough guns, right?
Bobby asked about his family, having grown up with the assassination of his own family. He said, this can be very traumatic for your kids and your grandkids. How's everybody doing? Trump said, I appreciate you asking, Bobby. You know, everyone's doing okay under the circumstances. President Trump then said to Bobby, I'm glad you called, Bobby. I've been wanting to talk to you. We should really work together.
I would love you to do so. And I think it'll be so good for New York and so big for you. And we're going to win.
We were all sort of shocked. We just thought it was going to be a condolences, you know, a call to wish everyone well. But it really sunk deep into Bobby. And we were like, wait a minute, are you actually considering joining President Trump? And he said, I don't know.
Mike, that is just incredible viewing, having that tape. Why start there? What significance is that?
Well, it was an incredible moment. It was, the film is called The Rise of RFK Jr., and that was a crucial moment on his rise. And it was that phone call that would connect him with Trump. He would go on to drop out of the presidential race as an independent candidate to endorse Donald Trump. to create what would become known as the MAHA movement, which wasn't a phrase until after he joined with Trump, and it would eventually propel him into the position of being one of the most powerful figures in Washington as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the largest government agency by budget in Washington, and put him in a crucial place to be able to make decisions of life or death over vaccines, but also everything involving America's health.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as the Secretary of Health and Human Services and how we got there, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Of course, that's not where Bobby Kennedy Jr., that's not where his story begins. And then you tell that story as well. And in a way that, you know, we all know the facts that his uncle and his father were assassinated. But never in ways that I hadn't really seen it told in that way, that from the point of view of his personal childhood trauma. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was these moments, the assassination of his uncle, John F. Kennedy, as president, the assassination of his dad, Robert F. Kennedy, who was running for president at the time, they were national tragedies. And they were the types of moments where people say, I remember when I heard that news. But for little Bobby Kennedy, those moments were searing for him. They transformed his life. And some of the people that we spoke to said that they put a burden on him. I mean, he was just a kid when he saw these tragedies happen. And his whole life was shattered. In the death of his father, he finds himself, his mom at the time is pregnant with their 11th child. He's sort of lost in the shuffle. Only a few months after the tragedy, he's sent off to boarding school, where one of his friends who knew him at the time described him as a lost soul. And it begins a period of his life of drug use and sort of dangerous behavior. Friends who told us he didn't care at that time whether he lived or died. And at the same time, it also was a burden on him. There was these expectations that he would somehow step into the shoes of his dad. And in the film, his cousin talks about this moment that little Bobby Kennedy saw and that he saw, which was the train carrying his dad's body traveling down the East Coast to Washington and seeing all of the people lined up outside mourning with signs. And for somebody like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to see that, to see what his dad represented at an early age, must have been, according to the people we've talked to, a real burden, a feeling of obligation that he somehow step into this unbelievable moment.
Gun violence is an epidemic in the United States. Many children have to deal with the fact that the parents, other loved ones are lost to gun violence, but not all of them had the access to the power and the privilege and the name that Bobby Kennedy had.
That's right. And that's there from the very beginning. That's there from before the tragedies. He's born into this privilege of being a Kennedy, of being surrounded by wealth and power from his very earliest days. In a lot of ways, he doesn't know anything else. His dad is in his uncle's cabinet, becomes a United States senator, becomes a candidate for president of the United States. He's surrounded by power from a very early age, and it definitely leaves an impression on him.
And that privilege, that name, that power shielded him in lots of ways from consequences.
That's right. I mean, it's sort of remarkable when you go back and look at his childhood, because it's after that tragic death of his dad, he has these lost years where he's using drugs. He's cycles through three different boarding schools. He's struggling, but he still ends up at Harvard. Harvard University, which is in many ways the university of his family, where many members of his family, including his dad and uncle, attended. So even as he's failing, even as he's dealing with drugs, he's able to go to someplace like Harvard. He even publishes, while he is in this period of doing drugs, he turns his senior thesis into a book, and he's interviewed about it on television.
Yeah.
All at the same time that he's struggling with this drug addiction.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back from this one-minute break. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. More about the Rise of RFK Jr. Frontline documentary airs tomorrow night on PBS. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half of the program, we're going to hear for the first time from Lenar Holmes about their plan to build an almost 3,000-home development in Northwest Bexar County over the aquifer. What does that mean? We're going to hear from them for the first time on that. But right now we're talking about a new PBS Frontline documentary, The Rise of RFK Jr. It asked a lot of really important questions about how did RFK Jr., Bobby Kennedy Jr., become the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Is he to be admired? Is he to be pitied? Is he to be held in contempt? That's up to you. You get the facts by watching this documentary. Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to Catherine. And Catherine, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much. I always appreciate your content greatly. I'm calling today because I had turned the radio on, and at the outset of the conversation, I was just struck by, it seemed that the decks were so very stacked as this conversation was presented, as though a straw man image of RFK were being presented to the public, with perhaps our host or perhaps the author's premises imposed upon him. RFK does not self-identify as a vaccine skeptic. He certainly would not self-identify as a spreader of misinformation. Is there space in the documentary, in the author's perspective, in this conversation today, for a defense of RFK, for a more honest conversation? Given my perception that the decks are very stacked in this conversation, I'm just wondering how you justify presenting the conversation this way.
So Catherine, you think we're being unfair to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
I think that's for y'all to defend. As I hear the conversation going forward, it seems that the decks are stacked going in. And so I'm wondering how you would present this turning into a fair conversation, or how you would justify your presentation.
All right. Well, Catherine, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. So, Mike Weiser, I'm going to play another clip then from your documentary. This is some sound that you have from RFK Jr. Making some dubious claims about public health.
Wi-Fi radiation is does all kinds of bad things, including causing cancer.
Wi-Fi radiation causes cancer?
Yeah, from your cell phone. I mean, there's cell phone tumors.
He advances this idea in speaking to a number of audiences that perhaps AIDS is caused by poppers, which are a recreational party drug.
100% of the people who died of the first 1,000 who had AIDS were people who were addicted to poppers.
He has argued at different points that the water is causing children to become transgender.
A lot of the sexual dysphoria that we're seeing, that these kids are being overwhelmed by a tsunami. I mean, they're swimming through a soup of toxic chemicals today, and many of those are endocrine disruptors. There's atrazine throughout our water supply.
He ends up going where all conspiracy theories end up, right, which is with the Jews. He ends up going right into the anti-Semitic DNA of conspiracy theory.
COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. But we don't know whether it was deliberately targeted that or not.
Mike Weisner, you could have used the full 2 hours of the documentary just airing sound clips of Bobby Kennedy Jr. saying outlandish things, but you didn't. These are just some samples. So you used his own sound bites to sort of lay out the fact that he was peddling crank, disproven medical science.
I mean, I think there's no question that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has made a lot of statements over the years that are controversial, that scientists have taken umbrage with, to say the least. But I'd like to respond to what the caller was asking, yeah. Which is one of the things we found when we were doing the film was that there were two very different views of Robert F. Kennedy. We spoke to a lot of people who were close allies of him in the vaccine skepticism movement, people who had been with him from the very beginning, family members, friends who really admire him as somebody who's willing to stand up against the establishment, against a scientific community that he and they view as corrupt. And we spoke to scientists and critics of him who saw him as a crank, as somebody who spreads misinformation. And part of what we're trying to do in the film is to reconcile those two views of who is Bobby Kennedy. And I think in the film you'll see both of those voices presented, and you'll see how they can both come together to help you understand who he is, the moments that shaped him, why he has embraced some of the causes that he has, why some people see him as an admirable person who's really risked it all for a cause that he believes in, and why others believe he's a dangerous threat to public health.
And when you say risk it all, I mean, he was shunned by the elite society. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. He was no longer invited to the big deals.
I mean, we talked to friends who said that when he was in Los Angeles and he was embracing some of the questions about vaccines, that he wasn't being invited to dinner parties, that people were shunning him. We talked to a publisher of his book who said it was almost impossible to place advertisements for the book. Of course, after COVID, he finds himself being deplatformed on social media sites. So, and not only that, but members of his own family have come out and expressed their skepticism about him. So in taking these stances, he has definitely incurred a personal cost in his reputation, in his relationships with friends and family, and yet he has persevered. And despite the setbacks, and there were many along the way, he's now in this position of power in Washington as the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Another caller. Let's go to Jeannie, 833-877-8255. Jeannie, you're on the air.
Hi. Oh, this is so sad about him. He's such a sweet, rich boy and, was given so much in life and to be attacked now in his later years. I always wonder if this is not a joke that Trump's pulling to take the attention off the Epstein thing. This guy is dangerous and somebody's going to go after him. He's another one they're going to get. And, doesn't he realize that tanning tables, those tanning booth things can cause cancer to the skin because it looks like he lives in one. So I'm just really scared that Trump is pulling a trick on us, and it's going to be, fooled you guys, got your minds off the Epstein. Thank you for your time. Have a blessed day.
Well, Jeannie, thank you for your call. How close are Trump and RFK Jr.?
It's a really interesting question, because RFK Jr. is a really unique figure inside the Trump administration. Probably only parallel was Elon Musk. In terms of somebody who has their own political following, their own power base, and who even has their own catchphrase in MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. That's not something that Donald Trump is known for. We covered the first Trump administration, and most of the members of the cabinet were certainly not figures that you would describe as having their sort of independent power. And from the very beginning, a lot of people have wondered how long the two of them will last. We talked to a number of his top advisors who were talking to him at the time he was making the decision about whether to endorse Donald Trump or not. And a lot of them said that they felt like Trump couldn't be trusted. But for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who believes that he is almost on a mission to improve the health of Americans, to get down to the truth about vaccines, he felt like there wasn't another option other than Donald Trump, and that it was a risk he was willing to take.
Here in Texas, I covered the measles outbreak that cost the lives of two young girls in West Texas. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. came to Texas for the funerals of one of those girls. He misrepresented what happened with those young girls and the measles and the vaccine, all these things. He told people to take massive doses of vitamin A, including cod liver oil. And that was doing damage to the livers of children who were taking these massive doses. So what he does has impact on people's lives. I mean, it's not just him being a bureaucrat. He has a definite role to play.
Absolutely. We spoke to a number of scientists at the CDC who have left, either been forced out or decided to resign. And what they told us was that there were two ways that Secretary Kennedy can exercise power. And one of them is through changing the rules and regulations around things. But the other is the bully pulpit of being the Secretary of Health and Human Services, of having this platform that he now has, of being able to easily access the media, of having the things that he says followed and listened to by a lot of people. And his message is definitely amplified in a way that it never was before he was in the cabinet.
Under the Constitution, Donald Trump is not supposed to be able to run for another term. If there is another presidential race election in America, and Trump is not on the ballot, does Robert F. Kennedy Jr. think of himself as a possible candidate for president again?
He's publicly said that that's not what he's thinking about right now. But we've certainly talked to people who are close to him who say that that's what they're hoping for. And when you look at the scope of his life and what really propelled him to this moment, you have to go back to his father's assassination, his father who was running for president when he was killed. And a lot of people told us that when he decided to run for president in the last cycle, that part of what must have been on his mind was completing what his father had left unfinished. So he grew up around a president. He grew up around a dad who had presidential ambitions. His cousin told us that he had ambitions to be president when he was a young boy. So it's hard to imagine that he wouldn't seriously consider whether it was his moment in 2028.
So we start off the program hearing the phone call between Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Donald Trump, and Bobby Kennedy joins the Trump campaign. Do you think that had an impact? Do you think that made a difference in Trump getting elected for another term?
Well, it's a good question. At the time, Kennedy's poll numbers were in the single digits, and it wasn't clear that he was going to influence the election. It's hard to know. A lot of his supporters do believe that his support, especially in bringing along what they call the MAHA moms, was crucial to Trump's victory. So his supporters say that he made a difference. Whether they actually did is almost impossible to know. But I think what you can't question is the fact that he has built a political base that is giving him power inside the Trump administration. And he's managed to move the Republican Party on some of these issues, like what he would call food safety, the issues of surrounding vaccines that were not traditional Republican issues. And he's managed to move the Trump's coalition towards where he was on those things. So I think his the power that he's managed to amass inside the MAGA movement, inside Trump's base, is unquestionable.
You do cover Bobby Kennedy's drug addiction, heroin addiction. They've also pulled back. They've retreated on harm reduction for addiction in America under Kennedy's administration as the Health and Human Secretary. That seems to be counter to his own personal story.
There's a lot of things that have been happening inside the HHS that are a little difficult to understand. He's talked about doubling down on finding the causes of chronic disease at the same time that there have been deep cuts inside the department, and scientists who study chronic
research. Yeah.
Disease have been let go.
Well, just turn off the Wi-Fi, and, I guess. Maybe that's the solution. All right. Well, Mike Weiser, thank you so much. Producer and director of The Rise of RFK Jr., the newest installment from PBS Frontline. It airs tomorrow night on KLRN in San Antonio, PBS stations across America. Mike, thanks for coming on. It's great talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.